It's the line straight down the middle. As much effort with the best execution you can achieve. It's down the middle. That's where the good stuff happens.
Meet your host, Andy Naylor. Andy is a men's physique transformation expert, competitive physical champion, and a multi six-figure business owner who has helped thousands of busy, high-achieving men get into the best shape of their lives and reconnect with their inner alpha. On this show, Andy is going to share with you his playbook on feeling healthy again, avoiding the common pitfalls successful men fall into, dropping 20 to 30 pounds of fat, and building a physique you can finally be proud of. And the transformations aren't just physical either. You're going to learn how meeting your personal goals will help support your professional achievements, giving you that true alpha mentality. Let's go.
Alphas, welcome back to the show. My name is Andy Naylor. I am CEO here at Naylor Body Design and host of the Optimal Alpha podcast. Free weights versus machines. This is probably one of the most common questions if you were in something like a Facebook group or a support network where people are trying to navigate their way through training, probably early on in maybe their training and physique development path. They're trying to work out which is better of the category of free weights versus machines. So we're going to dive into this. We're going to look at both the reasons, the positives and negatives I give you of both is not an exhaustive list. It's just the ones that I came up with in my mind just before starting to record. You may think of more, and that's wonderful. So free weights versus machines. First, let's categorize these. So a free weight to me, what, dumbbells is probably the most obvious one. Kettlebell, barbell, those are the things we're talking about. There are others, yes, I'm sure. But they're the ones that if we're going to go, if we think, again, in my mind, I'm always thinking physique development, wellness, you know, longevity, health, performance of the human body. Those are the things so that really are going through my mind when I'm thinking of training. You may have other priorities, and that's cool. But in my mind, when I start to think about these verses, it's a physique development, strength, power, performance, vitality that I'm trying to sort of, you know, conjure up my mind as to, you know, the answers to the questions. So machines are then everything else, technically. Today, I'm not necessarily thinking about cables, because I put cable stacks into their own category, and we will cover those on a different day. Today, I'm talking about the metal jungle that you probably see when you walk into the gym that sort of greets you. I mean, if you go to the gym regularly, you'll know exactly what you're doing. But you will have known at some point, you'll have walked into a gym and you'll have seen all this equipment and thought, what on earth does all that do? And that's all the machine stuff. So let's go through free weights first. They were around first, I guess. So let's go through this. So we're going to look at positives and negatives. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. These are just things that have come to my mind. You are welcome to disagree, agree, think of others. That's wonderful. So the positives of using free weights. Well, they're easy to use, technically. Like, you just pick them up and use them. There's no real setup. Now, when I say setup, yeah, you might need to set up a bench. There could be those sorts of things. But technically, there's not exactly a lot of setup. You just pick up a dumbbell, a barbell, a kettlebell, whatever the free weight is, and you use it, basically. Right? So there's the easy to use. Pretty much all gyms have them. I don't think I've ever, although I'm sure one will exist somewhere, but I don't think I've ever walked into a gym that had no free weights, had no dumbbells. That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? I'm trying to think if I've ever walked into a gym like that. I've definitely walked into a gym that probably had more cardio equipment than anything else. And I think that's weird as well, but that's a different subject. So all gyms have them. You're going to walk into a gym and you're going to see free weights. You're going to see dumbbells, maybe a barbell, maybe some plates, you know, some sort of weights to put on them. They escalate or ascend up in weight. So technically resistance. So also nearly technically difficulty in a very easy to understand increments. They just get bigger generally. Like at one end of a dumbbell rack, you've got the little teeny tiny pink ones, and you know, 2.5 kilogram ones, or you know, 5-6 pound or 2 pound, whatever the hell's down that little end, right? Which are useful, right? Very useful dumbbells, all the way to the ones at the other end that no one can put back on the bloody rack, right? So it's very clear where the difficulty scale is. whether people pick the right area of the dumbbell rack to use weights from, that's an entirely different thing to think about. And they tend to go up in good gyms. They'll go up in smaller increments. Not just necessarily say a good gym. I mean, free weights are expensive. All gym kit is expensive, very expensive. Particularly, free weights are bought in their weight. So the more increments of the smaller the increments of weights you've got on your dumbbell rack, the more weights you've bought, the more it's cost you. So it's not to say whether it's a good gym or not. It's just how much funds they had. But a more equipped gym, let's say, the increments might go up in quite tiny, like could be £2, you know, up in dumbbells. This is important because technically speaking, the lower down the weight range you are, if something goes from, say, 2.5 kilos to 5 kilos, that's double. That's a technically very big jump. If something goes from, say, 50 kilos to 55 kilos, that's not such a big jump relatively to the amount of overall weight. So it's actually important to have small increments, certainly on the low end, where this is useful in certain movements where we're, say, doing, I don't know, a bicep curl, a supinated curl, a preacher curl, something where we are going to be quite limited as the amount of weight that we're going to be able to use. We want the smallest increments possible. So when we do finally make that jump up, it doesn't ruin form, okay? So very easy to understand the increments up. Using dumbbells and free weights trains pretty well something called proprioception, which is just your innate ability to understand where in space your limbs are, technically. This is the thing that if someone threw a tennis ball at you and it's sort of going off to your right-hand side and you put your hand out and just catch it, you know in space where the ball is going to be and where your hand needs to meet it. That's called proprioception. It's the same reason that you could shut your eyes and touch your fingers together in front of you, or you could shut your eyes and have your finger touch your nose. That's proprioception. So think about this. If you're lying on a bench and you're doing a dumbbell bench press, right, just pushing the weight up in the air, the dumbbell has to go to a certain place and come back to a certain place in space. There's nothing guiding it. Right? It could go anywhere, technically. Right? This is a good and a bad thing, but it could go anywhere. So it trains, if you watch someone doing just a very easy dumbbell bench press, flat dumbbell bench press, when they first ever train, their arms are going all over the place. Like they're coming together, they're going out wide, there's no, it looks like there's no structure. That's because their body is trying to learn, where does this dumbbell need to go? Like it's trying to learn proprioception. So this can be really, really good, okay? So trains proprioception. Using free weights also is going to use a lot of supporting muscles. There's nothing else supporting. You're moving a load through space, normally away from you and back towards you. That's technically what we tend to do in some way, or from the floor up and back to the floor, right? Which means we're using a lot of other muscles around the target muscle to allow us to control the weight, which is, you know, controlling. Not the weight, but I would say, let's think about if we're doing a bicep curl, we're trying to contract our bicep. But if we're holding a free weight out in front of us, we're going to be using a lot of other muscles to lock in place the arm so we can produce force to contract the bicep. Think of your shoulder. If you held a dumbbell out to your side, if you weren't using any of your shoulder muscles, you'd contract your bicep, and I don't know what would happen to your arm, but you wouldn't produce much force. And the goal of any kind of training is to produce force and challenge muscles, which means you need to be stable to do so. I use the analogy of imagine a raft, a big, big raft on the lake, and now put a cannon on the raft and fire the cannon. But it's not going to be very successful because there's no stability under the cannon. The thing's going to go flying backwards if it didn't sink to start with. Same thing, if you're not using supporting muscles when using free weights, you aren't going to produce much force. That's pretty cool. And there's really, I mentioned this earlier, but no real setup required. You can pick up a dumbbell and put it use. That's a lot of positives, right? Let's look at the negatives. The biggest issue with free weights is they generally, they're only going to go in one direction. The force is generally going in one direction. What is that? Yeah, that would be down. It's down. It's a free weight. It's free in space. It's not really controlled by anything until you put your hands on it. It's trying to just go to the floor. Now, that's okay, but we can't really manipulate that much. Yeah, we can change our angle of us, our body, our limbs, to try and manipulate how that downward force is working, and that's really what we're doing. But it is quite a big limitation. What this often means is we get we can get a, what we call a bad resistance profile, right? This is, without diving too much into this, we have, our body has a thing called a strength profile, or let's say a movement. When we're doing a movement, we have a thing called a strength profile. In other words, as we are moving something, contracting a load, we might be stronger at a certain part of that movement and weaker at a certain part of that movement. Okay, I'll give you an example. And then the movement itself has something called a resistance profile. In other words, as that movement happens, based on physics and moment arms and a whole bunch of things like that, the resistance profile, the degree of difficulty through the movement changes. Here's a really good example. Think of a lateral, like a side out dumbbell raise, right? So for those of you on YouTube, this, right? So I'm stood up straight or sat down on a bench. I've got two dumbbells and I'm lifting them outwards to my side. So I'm trying to work my side delt. Okay, here's the issue. The dumbbell doesn't change weight, but its relative difficulty to us is going to change as I lift it up. Why? Because as I lift the dumbbell up, well, it goes from down by my side to start with, doesn't it? So relatively, it's underneath the pivot. It's underneath my shoulder. So technically, there's no difficulty. It's just hanging off me, right? So as I lift that dumbbell out to the side, and I've now got my arm completely horizontal to the floor and out to the side, the relative difficulty of the dumbbell is now much, much harder because of a thing called a moment arm, which is I'm now holding the dumbbell miles away from the thing that's pivoting, my shoulder. So to me, it feels way heavier. So the problem is, the resistance profile is it's getting more difficult as I lift it up, right? Can we agree on that? So as I lift it up, the dumbbell is getting further away from me, it's getting more difficult. So the resistance profile is it's getting more difficult as it goes away from me. Now the strength profile of that movement is we get weaker the more a muscle contracts, technically. There's a few nuances there, but if you think about it, if we didn't get weaker as a muscle contracts, we could probably contract a muscle off our bone. Think about it. And there is an interesting side note here that you can only contract a muscle so far, but your body can involuntarily contract muscles way harder than you. Think of cramp. So think of when you've had cramp. You would struggle to recreate the contraction level in your muscle of cramp. You wouldn't want to do it, right? But your muscle could technically contract itself into oblivion. But we have sort of safety mechanisms that as we're doing something, I guess, consciously, as the more and more and more we're contracting, so we get this sliding filament action inside of a muscle, the more that's happening, it gets to a point where you just can't contract any further. So in other words, as I'm contracting my side delt and it's getting shorter and more contracted as I lift my arm up, I'm getting weaker, right? Yep. I'm getting weaker as I lift my arm up. So I'm getting weaker as I lift my arm up as the dumbbell is relatively getting more heavy to me. The two things are working, like it should be the other way around. One thing should be getting stronger as the other thing gets weaker. In other words, I'm in control. So what happens is people pick for this particular exercise a dumbbell that they could do the first 25, 30% of the movement very well with, and then it's swing, swing, swing momentum to finish it off. Picture someone doing this. Most people will pick a weight that they can do the first part very well with, and then it's sort of a flick of the upper body and a flick of the arms to get the dumbbell up. That's a problem. That is a bad strength profile of the body and resistance profile of the movement. This is one of the biggest issues with dumbbells. It's very hard to get around. I can think of loads of options. I can think of also where it works very well for us, but we're in the negative column. And again, backing off that, it's easy with dumbbells to use poor form. I would also say it's easy to use good form, but let's be honest. Let's look around the gym. And I mean, everybody has their own view of good and bad form. And there are, of course, people out there that take it to the extreme and are sort of essentially form police. There is a balance between effort and execution when it comes to form. We cannot be all effort and no form. That's like just throwing weights around like a monkey, right? Monkey see, monkey do, just like mindless throwing of weights. But then we can't be all execution and absolutely perfect and really then not using a load that's having any degree of effect in terms of tension, damage, all these sorts of things. It's the line straight down the middle. As much effort with the best execution you can achieve, it's down the middle. That's where the good stuff happens. But the reality is, What you would notice, this is interesting, actually, if you generally speaking, careful, everybody, if you watch a female train, they will be more on the execution side, right? They will be, they are more thoughtful in their movement. Generally speaking, if you watch a male train, they're more on effort. There are going to be loads of outliers to that, obviously, but I've been in gyms for 20 years. That's a pretty solid viewpoint. Men could do with training a little bit more like women, and women could do with training a little bit more like men. In other words, they both go back to the middle area. But it's easy to use poor form. It's easy to swing things around. It's easy because probably we're needing to, our body is trying to find a way to overcome bad strength profiles. Okay. It could also be quite dangerous. Now, I don't mean just free weights, just not as dangerous as in hurt. So, I mean, we can drop them. How many of you have dropped a free weight on your foot? I have dropped, imagine a 20 kilo, so what's that, 44 pound plate. I remember taking it off the side of a Smith machine, sort of dropping it onto the floor, as in like just letting it sort of bounce on the floor, and it was going to then lean up against the Smith machine. So it wasn't going to hit my foot. And so it went bang on the floor, didn't hit my foot, hit the Smith machine, but unknown to me, it bounced back. So now we've got a plate falling away from the Smith machine. I saw it move my foot, and it just caught the end of my toe. And oh my God, I actually squealed. I was training a client, this is years ago. I didn't dare take off my shoe, my trainer, because I literally thought it cracked my big toe in half. It was so painful. And I mean painful. And all it did was just catch into my toe. I'm sure people have dropped dumbbells on their feet and broken things. Like it can be dangerous. You can drop stuff. And I'm not talking about just dangerous as in hurting yourself in terms of an injury of doing the movement. I'm like, they can just dropping them can be dangerous. Also, with free weights, it can be hard to focus on a singular muscle. Again, because we're sometimes fighting momentum, inertia, you know, poor strength profiles, resistance curves, all these things. Quite often, we're using a lot of muscles. And again, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But if our goal is optimal physique development, etc., then we want sometimes to be able to really target a muscle, a lagging muscle, a muscle that just needs that extra bit of work. Now, quite often, if you've got a lagging muscle, a muscle that needs an extra bit of work, chances are, one of the reasons is that you struggle to target that muscle when you do the movement that you think is supposed to be targeted here. So for example, let's imagine you've got really bad upper chest. So you do incline dumbbell press, but maybe your triceps and your front delts are really taking the load for whatever reason, and you're just not hitting upper chest. Or that you can then do that movement for the rest of your life. You're not going to make progress. Alphas, I interrupt this show with a simple message. This show is here to benefit you and your progression to the best version of yourself. But not only just you, it's also here to benefit the people around you, your loved ones, your friends, other alphas in your vicinity. So why not do a really cool thing today? Something that I would thank you for, and maybe someone else would. Share this podcast with at least one other alpha out there who you know would benefit from it. Why not share the information, share the ability for someone else to grow? I'm sure they would thank you. I 100% would absolutely thank you. This podcast only grows by our listeners, our followers doing amazing things like giving us 5-star reviews, downloading podcasts, subscribing, and then, of course, sharing it with other people. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Share it with one person, and, of course, drop us a 5-star review, download the podcast, and, of course, subscribe. And now back to the show. Okay, let's move on to machines. So, first of all, positives for machines. It's fair to say that machine-based training has evolved dramatically over the past decade, if not further. I can certainly go back and think of all of the ranges of machines I've used. And it's fair to say there are some out there that seem to have been made by people that have never set foot in a gym. And then there are some that are absolutely amazing to use. And they just do exactly what they're supposed to. So machines have evolved a lot. And I think they're now a great weapon in terms of, you know, physique development. They're much easier to target a specific muscle because the machine is guiding you to a degree, and it is supporting, depending on the machine, depending on the movement, but quite often it's supporting and kind of maybe taking load off supporting muscles. You can then very much more easily target chest. So for me, chest is a really good example. You just like let the machine touch back down again. And quite often a lot of them will have a foot plate in front of you where you can push your foot down and it will take the load off you. So you can take the thing all the way to failure, specifically targeting muscular failure on the muscle that you're after, and get out of the machine after hitting failure completely fine. So yeah, you can certainly put, I think with machine-based training, you can certainly push a lot closer to failure and keep form intact. Machines, particularly good from coming back from injury, again, because of their supporting nature. Not saying in every case. I think the both can be useful here. However, I think for a lot of people, you can build up strength and confidence inside of a machine setting because you haven't got to balance weights. You haven't got to, like, maybe support weights. I think it can have a really good utility in terms of getting you back from some kind of injury. It depends on the injury, the severity, all these sorts of things. But there's certainly utility there that I think machines can give somebody a bit more confidence in terms of I can move something. So, for example, when I tore my pec, well, I didn't really tear it. I nearly tore it. And it was doing bench press. I couldn't even – so the easiest thing technically I could go off and do to try and – in terms of a free weight was maybe a push-up. And I was trying to, I couldn't even hold my body weight in a push-up. I couldn't do a push-up. It was too risky. Could I have done a flat dumbbell press? Yes, but it was exactly the movement where I'd hurt myself. I could sit in a little, there was a little chest press machine that I could sit in that I basically put no weight on it. Like, it was just the weight of the handles, and I could move that in and out. And it was just pushing blood through and around the injury, and it helped me recover. I couldn't really do that in any other thing. I couldn't do a push-up. I didn't really want to hold dumbbells and get under a dumbbell in any way at all. Because again, I want to be able to just get out of the movement if I needed to. I've still got to drop a dumbbell, get it off to the side. A machine, I could just push my foot down on the foot pad in front of me and it would take the weight off the machine. I'd be safe. So that can be useful. Good machines, you can change the resistance profile. So for example, like Prime, I use a lot of Prime equipment, very good pieces of kit. And they've normally got a setting, a 1, 2, 3, even on some of them, 1 to 5 setting where you can change where that machine exerts most of its force. This can be really useful. But essentially, you know, you might want this machine to feel really heavy, really difficult when you're out at the stretched, you know, the stretched element, the eccentric, or no, let's just say the stretched element of a movement. You might want it to be difficult there for whatever reason. You might want it to be more difficult when you're trying to fully contract for whatever reason. You might want it to be difficult when you're in the middle. So for example, I use a Prime laying hamstring curl. Now, by default, generally speaking, it always feels heavier as you're releasing it all the way out. Moment arms, it's exactly the same thing. However, I have a bit of a vulnerable left hamstring. So I'm going to set that machine. I also don't want it to be completely difficult as when I'm trying to contract because I'm not going to get a full contraction. So I actually set that machine up so it's most difficult in the middle. So I can still get a full contraction. I go for a bit where it feels quite heavy in the middle and then it lightens off as I'm lengthening my legs out so I feel safe. So I can now adapt that machine to fit me, my niggle, and the things that I want to achieve. That's one of the best things about good machines. And then they can also be adapted. So let's think of a leg press. You can band a leg press. You can reverse band a leg press. You can do stuff to it. You can band yourself when you use free weights, but it's really damn difficult. And it's just a ball ache, quite frankly. But you can band machinery to, again, essentially change resistance profiles when you don't have the ability to do it like a Prime. So if you reverse banded, so this, okay, imagine we're in a Smith machine. This is maybe just, it's just to give you a clear example. We could put a band across the top of a Smith machine and onto the bar. Okay, so as you're lowering it down, the band picks up some of the weight. So as you get down into the stretched position, it gets a little bit lighter. Now that could be, it gets a little bit safer. So for me, that's how I would have used a Smith machine back when I did. Because as I'm lowering all the way down, I'm thinking, oh, you know, well, I've had nearly 2 pec tears in my life. I really don't want another one. If it's gonna happen, where's it gonna happen? All the way down in that stretch position. So I'm gonna reverse band it. I'm gonna put a band from the top to the bottom. It's gonna pick up about halfway down. So it's gonna take off a few kilos as I get all the way down. I've changed the resistance profile of the piece of equipment. Okay. And as I push up, the band stops doing anything and I get full weight all to the top when there's really, I'm not going to injure myself. And you can do that in lots of pieces of equipment. Leg work is probably where you would see it most. Right. Negatives of machines. Well, obviously, there's so many variations. There's a dumbbell and we all know what a dumbbell does, but we can look at equipment and be like, the heck does that do? Generally speaking, you can categorize most equipment, you can basically put it into four categories. You could look at it in lots of different ways. But you're either pushing something away, pulling something back, pushing something up, pulling something down. Roughly. That's about the easiest way I could say that you can... Okay, you can then say, well, this is all chest, this is all back. Right. Now, so we could put things into body part-specific buckets and categories and then say you're either pushing something away, pulling something back, pushing something up, pulling something down. That's basically it. But it's not always very easy to work that out. And, you know, you can walk into a gym for the first time and just see, like, you know, I walk into Benus and I'm like, there's five big rooms full of equipment and most of it is machinery. And... You've got to look at some quite carefully and think, hang on a second, like, what's that going to do? There's a lot of variation and it's hard to work out what variation is right and wrong and what actual equipment is right and wrong. Because like I've said earlier, some's made by people that don't seem to have ever gone into a gym and then some is amazing. So it's hard to work out what's right for you. So there has to be a degree of, trial and error. Go and try stuff out. Don't be I did a back workout 2 days ago and every piece of equipment I used was something different. Don't normally do that, but I've become a little bit stuck and stagnant in my normal back workout. And I'm like, okay, well, just time to maybe change up some equipment. I need to go and try some. I need to go and try some of all the other equipment, see what works. So it can be a little confusing. That is fair to say. Machines don't train proprioception anywhere near as much as free weights. So that ability to know exactly where your hand needs to go, well, the machine is probably guiding you. Because so, you know, if you're thinking of a chest press machine, generally speaking, the handle's going to go from point A to point B, and there's probably not going to be a lot of variation in something like that. Some machines have a lot of handles where you can really change where you end up. I can think of a prime pull down where you can end up in whatever position you want. So there's a degree of proprioception there, but it's certainly not as much as you would find in using a free weight. Of course, I don't think machinery trains supporting muscles quite as much. Why? Because the machine is doing a degree of supporting. That is both a positive in certain circumstances, but also, of course, a bit of a negative. For me, I'm not particularly bothered. I'm looking for physique development. I don't have any imbalances, shall we say, in terms of supporting muscles. If I did, I would work out what they were, and then I'd work out if a free weight movement would give me a result that I wanted. So of course, setup can be challenging. I can think of some machines where there is a chest press actually in Benus, and I can't think who it's made by. So the seat obviously goes up and down. The base of the seat, the bit you sit on, that goes up and down. The backrest goes backwards and forwards, and the tilt changes. All right, well, there's three things. The depth that the handles come back at, that changes. The height of the handles change. And I think there's something else. There's about six things that you could change. Well, one, that's brilliant. And two, it's also very difficult to work out where you could probably have two or three setups that might work for you. So that's fair to say that can be a challenge. And I think that's what puts that can put a lot of people off going to the gym because they just look at it and they're like, I can't work that out. You've just got to try stuff. And again, I always say to someone, if you're going on a piece of equipment for the first time, don't go in and try and max the thing out because you just don't know if the setup is just quite right. And, you know, for the cohort of people that we train, you know, mostly, you know, 40 plus, our goal is not get injured and be able to train for the rest of our life. So if you go onto a new piece of equipment, certainly things like chest pressing, like chest and like pressing stuff away, big leg movement, stuff like that. You want to use something for the first time and just, you know, go off and feel how it was. Like, you know, go and train, maybe try it out with 50% weight, something like that. And then the next day or two, find out, did it cause a problem? Does something hurt that you weren't expecting it to? So yeah, setup can certainly be challenging. And finally, I would say that the best pieces of equipment, so success leaves clues, not always, but the best pieces of equipment in the gym probably have cues at the busy times. So I think it's probably fair to say that, you know, if you've got some of these really good pieces of equipment made by good companies that do the job that they're supposed to do, chances are, well, if you have to go at a busy time, so that's maybe the 6 till 8 in the morning or the 5 till 8 at night, whatever they might be, you know, you might find them difficult to get on. That can be a pain. There's always another dumbbell, generally speaking. So I think it's fair to say that in summary, there is no better or worse. If anyone says to you, this is the best or the worst way to do something, or you must or mustn't do this, I would probably run a mile. There is no best or worst. There is no better in terms of free weights versus machines. I encourage you to think, what am I looking to achieve? What is the most optimal way to get there? For most people, if I'm honest, it's probably a bit of a mixture. Depending on where you are in your training journey, your training experience, I would definitely therefore say a mixture of free weights and machines is best. Don't just discount one and just use the other. Don't be like, wow, you know, back in Arnold's day, they really only had free weights and it seemed to work for them. That is a rubbish argument. Back in the day, the golden era, all of the people that you saw were in the genetic elite. There were a lot less people back in that era with great physiques and bodies. Just they were the outliers. Now, there's way more people. Why? Because our understanding of training, our ability to train, our understanding of all of it has got a lot better. And, you know, using machines has certainly been part of that. However, I think for most people, a mixture is going to be most beneficial. You know, I think training proprioception is useful. I think training balance. I think the understanding of control of a movement that you have to get if you want to train with free weights with great form. And I don't just mean throw it, because what I see is people throwing weights around like idiots most of the majority of the time. Just poor form, wasted energy. And it's not no one's fault. I'm not picking fault here. It's just an understanding of what's actually happening when I, you know, lift my arm up to my side, and how much swing am I using, and is this really actually working, and have I been doing this movement for so many months, if not years, and I really don't seem to have got, you know, much further. People tend to too much go to the gym and they're looking for other things, other quick fixes, other special this, special that. Oh, should I do drop sets, and should I, you know, add intensifiers, and should I take this or take that? Or generally speaking, people need to train a lot better. And it can be done by, you know, using free weights for certain movements. Like, I still actually use dumbbells a lot for bicep curl. It seems to fit me really well. And if I use machinery for bicep training, for some reason, it just doesn't seem to suit my arm lengths. Like, the machines I've got available to me, they just don't fit. And I feel if I go to failure, what I get is a lot of pain, you know, in my elbow, in and around my sort of elbow and, you know, down into my forearm. Whereas if I use a dumbbell in different variations, different sort of angles and things like that, it feels way more natural to me. But if I use, say, a dumbbell to do something like a bent over row, something like that, something back, it just feels like I'm just like moving weight. I don't feel like I'm contracting against the load properly. Whereas I will go and use all the machinery for back, and I get exactly what I want from it. So there's a distinction that some body parts are going to work really well with free weights for you, and some body parts you might want to find machinery. But then it also depends on what machinery you've got available. So in summary, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no best, there is no worst, in my opinion. There's what's going to suit you, your circumstances, your goals. So I hope that's helped. Go away, be critically think, logically think, yeah? When you're programming your workouts out, logically think, you know, have I been doing something for X amount of time and getting nothing from it? Is there a better option? And also be quite critical of the gym that you go to. Now, look, no disrespect to any gyms. Some gyms are better than others. Like, that's fair to say, you know, and if someone comes to me and says, oh, my gym doesn't have this, and it's a pretty standard piece of equipment, like a seated leg curl, or I don't know, whatever it might be, I'm quite often like, you might want to find a better gym. Right now, again, no disrespect, running a gym is bloody difficult, very difficult. I've been in gyms for 20 years. I know how hard it is. I know how much it costs. I know how little profit most of them make. So no disrespect at all there. However, it's your body, it's your life, it's your goals. So, you know, be thoughtful on what gyms you go to and the equipment that you use and that's available to you. So that's my quick little roundup of free weights versus machines. I hope you found it interesting. I'd love your input. If you've enjoyed the podcast, you know, please do share it with, you know, however you've managed to find it. You know, maybe someone shared it with you, then pass that on and share with somebody else. A 5-star review always helps us understand that we're delivering the best content for you guys. So for me, for now, over now.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope that you feel motivated to start making changes in your life so you can see those results that you've been wanting to achieve. Remember, you can do anything you set your mind to. If you love the show, please leave us a 5-star review and make sure you tell your friends. If you'd like to connect with Andy, you can find him on Instagram at Andy_Naylor_Pure_Elite_Pro. I'll leave a link in the show notes as well. Talk to you again soon.